ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 9 Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Dharmasya hi apavargyasya na artaha artaya upakalpate na artasya dharma eka antasya kamaha labhaya hi smritaha dharmasya hi arpavargyasya nartortayopakalpate Nartasya dharmaikantasya kamo labhaya hi smritaha dharmasya hi apavargyasya nartortayopakalpate Natasya dharmaikantasya kamo labhaya hi smritaha dharmasya hi apavargasya Nartortayopakalpate Nartasya dharmakantasya Kamolabhaya hi smritaha Dharmasya hi apavargyasya Nartortayopakalpate Nartasya dharmaikantasya Namo labhaya hi smritaha Dharmasya hi apavargasya Nartortayopakalpate Ladies, dharmasya hi apavargasya nartortayopakalpate nartasya dharmaikantasya kamolabhaya hi smritaha Dharmasya, occupational engagement. He, certainly. Apavargyasya, ultimate liberation. Na, not. Artaha, end. Artaya, for material gain. Upakalpate is meant for. Na, neither. Nartasya, of material gain. dharma eka antasya. For one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service. Kamaha, sense gratification. Labhaya, attainment of. He, exactly. Smritaha, is described by the great sages. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. Purport. We have already discussed that pure devotional service to the Lord is automatically followed by perfect knowledge and detachment from material existence. But there are others who consider that all kinds of different occupational engagements, including those of religion, are meant for material gain. The general tendency of any ordinary man in any part of the world is to gain some material profit in exchange for religious or any other occupational service. Even in the Vedic literatures, for all sorts of religious performances, an allurement of material gain is offered, and most people are attracted by such allurements or blessings of religiosity. Why are such so-called men of religion allured by material gain? Because material gain can enable one to fulfill desires, which in turn satisfy sense gratification. This cycle of occupational engagements includes so-called religiosity followed by material gain and material gain followed by fulfillment of desires. Sense gratification is the general way for all sorts of fully occupied men. But in the statement of Suta Goswami, as per the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is nullified by the present shloka. One should not engage oneself. One should not engage himself in any sort of occupational service for material gain only, nor should material gain be utilized for sense gratification. How material gain should be utilized is described as follows. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manumapi Shachiputra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Grajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Matavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi. Mandeham shri guru shri yatav padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavans cha. Shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatan vitam tam sajivam. Sadvaitam savadhutang parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam. Shri radha krishna padan. Sahagana Lalita Shivishakhan Vitams Cha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As most of you know, this verse is one in a series of well-known verses, often quoted verses, that appear very near the beginning of Bhagavatam, in the second chapter of the first canto, which delineate pure devotional service. And these verses are often quoted in that regard. What is often not so much appreciated is that this series of verses describing pure devotional service, or pointing toward pure devotional service, are discussed within the context of Varnashram Dharma. It was considered that by all of those participating, namely the sages at Naimisharanya, headed by Suta Goswami, who was speaking to them, it was considered that Varnashram Dharma is the way people live, and what's the meaning of life? What does it all lead to ultimately? And that is pure devotional service. We should discuss about Varnashram Dharma, even though Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that it is external to pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to establish Varnashram Dharma as the support system, the social support system, for all of human society, and particularly for those who are engaged in devotional service. We may say, well, that's all external, we don't need to bother with it. But for that matter, the body that we're in is also external to pure devotional service, but we look after that. We feed it, we clothe it, and we take care for it. And so much of our endeavor goes into caring for the body. If we just say, oh, it's all external, so I won't bother to eat, I won't bother to dress myself, I won't bother to bathe, that's madness. Shariram adyam, what is that? Shariram adyam dharma sadhanam. Shariram adyam kalu dharma sadhanam. That's how it goes. We have to see to the body in order to perform dharma, and we have to look after the body in order to perform dharma. Sometimes that's just taken for granted. That we have to look after the body. It can be done in devotional service. And when it's done in devotional service, it's considered to be devotional service, not in the sense of hearing and chanting about Krishna, but even brushing one's teeth, if it is for the sake of maintaining the body so that we can utilize the body in devotional service, that's also considered part of devotional service. And we find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the topmost shastra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, instructing Sanatana Goswami how he should instruct in his Hari Bhakti Vilas devotees to live their day, including Danta Dhavana, which means brushing the teeth, cleaning the teeth. So even though Varnashram is external to devotional service, it shouldn't be rejected outright because it does form the natural support to devotional service, the social system which is given by Krishna, charto varnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah, given by Krishna, which Krishna in all the avatars that he takes upholds. He says, dharma samsthapana ataya sambhavami yuge yuge, I appear in every age to re-establish dharma, which means at all levels, beginning from Varnashram Dharma. Although, as Buddha, he came to dismantle Varnashram Dharma. That's a very unusual avatar. But then Lord Shiva, who's meant for destruction, came to the destruction had gone too far, so he came as Shankara and re-established it, but in a wrong way. It's all quite complex because Shankara, of course, he's also a Vaishnava, and there are so many signs of him being a Vaishnava. But Varnashram Dharma, that's accepted. Even within the Vedic culture, there may be so much disagreement and polemics about what is the ultimate goal, and there are Shaivas and Vaishnavas. Among the Vaishnavas, there are various sects and subsects, and among the Shaivas, there are various sects and subsects, and there are followers of different philosophical systems, arguing with each other, and But they all accept that we have to follow Varnashram Dharma, which is generally understood to have four main aspects, which are dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. One thing I should say that before I go on to this, that although the body is extraneous to devotional service, although varnashram dharma is extraneous to devotional service, just as long as we're in the material situation, the body is a support to devotional service. So similarly, varnashram dharma is a support. We can chant Hare Krishna if we're sick, physically sick, but it makes it more difficult. We can chant Hare Krishna without varnashram dharma, but it makes it more difficult, as I will attempt to describe somewhat in this talk. The soul is the basis of the body. Without the body is dead. But the body supports the soul's activities of devotional service. So in the same way, devotional service is the real meaning of varnashram dharma, the real point of it all, without which varnashram dharma becomes asuric, asura varnashram dharma. So varnashram dharma is supposed to support bhakti, and bhakti is supposed to support or be the very basis and life of varnashram dharma, just as the soul is the very support and life of the body, and the body is meant for engaging in devotional service. So Vedic society has the chatur varga, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Dharma, very broad term, is one of those terms which those who understand it. We have a broad understanding of what it means. Terms like love and mind and goodness, we all have a general sense of what they mean, although to precisely define is very difficult. It is defined in Bhagavatam, dharmang tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharma means the rules given by Krishna. That's a definition from the Bhagavatam. But it's not an absolutely complete definition. It is in one sense and in another sense not, because there's also a sense of dharma, of harmony, that which holds the universe together. And it's more than that, because not just what is prescribed by the Supreme Lord, but that which is the inherent constitutional nature of the living being, which is to love Krishna, which is pointed out in this series of verses. Ahaitukya pratihataya atma suprasidati. The highest dharma is to love Krishna unconditionally. In social terms, dharma has a very broad meaning. Here we have, in this section of Bhagavatam, talking about varnashrama vibhagasya, meaning that one should act according to one's dharma as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, or stri. So that's another understanding of dharma. And it very much interlinked with varnashram. When we see the term dharma in Shastra, it refers to swakarma. We find the term swakarma in Bhagavad Gita. And swadharma, they're practically interchangeable. Shayan swadharma vigunaha paradharmat svanushtitat. One should perform one's own swadharma. Means, in this case, it's very clear, it means swakarma. One should perform one's duty according to one's varna situation and also ashram situation. So in this verse we find the word dharma, we find the word artha, comes up three times, although the word artha has different meanings. One meaning of the word artha is, one meaning of artha is meaning. Here Srila Prabhupada has given us end, what is the ultimate purpose. And it also means money, material gain. It's used in that way twice. It has to be understood that if we say nartasya dharmaikantasya, if we understand arta here as meaning, then it turns the meaning of dharma upside down. It has to be understood as material gain. So dharma, arta, kama, that word is there, and moksha is also there in another form, apavargya, which also means moksha. So dharma, artha, kama, and moksha all are discussed here, and we understand from this whole series of verses that the ultimate end, artha, the ultimate end or meaning is Krishna. Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Vedaischa sarvera hameva vedyaha. Karma is inherent in every living being. Karma defines a living being. Living being means it has desire. If there's no desire, it's not living. There are inanimate objects, such as tables and chairs. But that which is animate has consciousness, and consciousness means desire, will, volition. These are all aspects of consciousness. Now, there are those who say that they want to come to a state of consciousness without desire, and then they think that pure consciousness is without desire, and one becomes absorbed in a state of chinmatra. There's only consciousness. Consciousness means consciousness of something, awareness. But it is in the nature of the living being that as soon as there is awareness, there is a processing in terms of what is considered to be self-interest. And sankalpa vikalpa. Do I like this? Do I not like it? Am I indifferent to it? And one interacts with that percept or that object of perception, whether it's seen, felt, tasted, smelt, or heard. One reacts to that in terms of what one considers to be one's self-interest. So one has to hear Bhagavatam to understand that our real self-interest is Krishna. Otherwise, what is our situation? Nate vidu swartha gating. Swartha, here we have the word swartha. Artha, again the word comes. Swarthas. Suartha means the best artha. Or svartha, the one's own interest. So, nate vidu swartha gating hi vishnam. Demoniac people do not know that they're, or bewildered people, they do not know that their real self-interest is Vishnu. So everyone takes karma to be their artha. The meaning of their life is to fulfill desire. And there are those who say, just stop all desire and become consciousness only. And there are others who say, stop all desire and stop all consciousness also. So that's the difference between, that's a difference between Mayavadis and Buddhists. But karma cannot be stopped. This is a This is a essential point in understanding Vaishnava Vedanta. Make a point of that. That the whole idea of karma being stopped is impossible. Therefore, it has to be purified. The very nature of the living being is to desire. Therefore, it has to be purified based on knowledge. Vedanta means we're supposed to learn something. Jnana, Jnana Kanda, it's generally referred to as Jnana Kanda. We're supposed to learn who we are and who is supreme and how to act in relationship with the supreme for our actual swartha, for our best self-interest. We're supposed to learn that. Otherwise, as we read in the next verse, that life's desire should never be directed towards gratification of the senses, which is what everyone does. Because we identify with this body, we perceive our necessity, our artha, to be ahara, nidra, bhai, and maitun. Kamasya, show it, kamasya, nendriya, pritir. Labho jiveta yavata jivasya tattva jignyasa narto yascheha karma bihi. Kam must be there. Desire must be there, but it should not be directed toward sense gratification. And Srila Prabhupada includes in his translation here self-preservation. So sense gratification and self-preservation, they are summed up as ahara nidra bhaya maitun. And everyone lives in this world for the sake of that. But jivasya tattva jignyasa, rather one should come to this point of atato brahma jignyasa, of inquiring what is it beyond material existence. What is the spiritual basis or substance? So all these terms, dharma, artha, kama, they're all to be understood in terms of Srimad Bhagavatam. We find this verse, ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanam etat pashubhya naranam. What's the next word? Dharmo hitesham. In some renditions it's gyano hitesham. Dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesham dharmena hina pashubhya naranam. Humans and animals eat, sleep, mate, and defend. What's the difference between them? Humans have the opportunity to pursue dharma. So without dharma, a human is no better than an animal. But what's being pointed out in this verse, verse number 9, which we just read, dharmasya hi apavargyasya, what's being indicated in this verse, that people generally, and Srila Prabhupada elaborates on that in the purport, that people perform dharma for the sake of artha. They think, if I go to the church, I'll get some money, or if I follow my swadharma, my material needs will be fulfilled. And as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport to this verse, it's actually helpful to have a book, actually. So I'm realizing now that then you can consult it more easily than someone else trying to flip up and down the screen and wonder what I'm looking for. But they don't know what I'm looking for. Books are nice. Yeah. Anyway, I have it somewhat here, at least theoretically. Does this follow that? Yeah, it does. Better you do it, because I don't know how to. Okay, I'll try. I'm not very good with these things. So mostly people do artha. Yeah, you can see it's right there by Krishna's arrangement. The general tendency of any ordinary man in any part of the world is to gain some material profit in exchange for religious or any other occupational service. In other words, people go to the church, they go to the masjid, they go to the temple, and they pray Dear God, give us this day our daily bread and a new car and everything else that I need. So the idea is to become religious for the sake of artha, and then they can get karma. And mostly people have no idea of moksha. In Hinduism, there's some idea, but that's for those guys you see on the TV, right, with the long beards and in the Mahabharata serial. They're the rishis in the forest. That's not for us. That's for someone else. Maybe I'll be a rishi some lifetime. But I don't think they even get that far thinking. It's some moksha is. They have no idea. They're not interested in it anyway. But in Varnashram Dharma, they're all four are there. Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. But the basis of it all is Dharma, because otherwise, in completely materialistic society, as in animal society, there is artha and karma. Even in animal societies, there's artha. Not that they earn money, but they may collect some sticks to build a nest. So in this way, it's artha. They're collecting something for the sake of fulfilling sense gratification. They have absolutely no idea of moksha and no idea of dharma either. So ahara, nidra, bhaya, maitun, they fall within the sphere of artha and karma. And in Varnashram Dharma, it's also understood that not everybody's at the stage of desiring moksha. But as stated in this verse, which we're reading today, dharmasya hi apavargyasya, everyone should be interested, should have it in mind at least. Everyone has to follow, whatever level one's at, whether one's Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Stri, whatever level one is at, one should know what is dharma, and particularly one should know what is one's own swadharma, what is one's place in society, what am I supposed to do, which is very clear in, generally it's very clear in Varnashram society, because of the varnas. Someone who's born in a certain varna, apart from varna, there are four general categories, and within that there are so many subcategories, which are generally known as jati. And if you're born in a potter's family, you become a potter, and if you're born in a barber's family, you become a potter. If you're a male, and if you're a female in a barber's family, then you become a barber's wife. And they also have things to do, right? They cut the nails of the women and so many things they do. And they act as the chief village gossip because they go around all the women and cut their nails, all the different varnas. So the bearers of news and fake news and everything. So everyone has their role to play. And it's not a very difficult thing to understand. People don't think, what am I going to be when I grow up? And they have someone saying to the little girl, 4 years old, what are you going to be when you grow up? Are you going to be a doctor or an astronaut? And little girl, it's being programmed. This is modern India. You told me in Bangalore, there's someone, a little girl, a natural tendency to, well, if it was a normal family, which we don't have nowadays, but then she's 4 years old, she's already got at least one younger child, younger brother or sister, so she'd be busy looking after that, younger brother or sister. And it's just a very natural thing that women become mothers. Wow, what an amazing statement. Wow, that's... that's wrong, right? Women aren't supposed to become mothers. Well, what's the worst thing that could ever happen to them? They're supposed to become astronauts, right? Or more realistically, factory workers. Women's liberation. All women have the opportunity to go to work, and most of them end up in factories. Wonderful. What a great liberation. Anyway, everyone in Varnashram Dharma, everyone has to follow their Swadharma, what they're supposed to do. Either as Brahmana, and even within Brahmanas, some are cooks, some are teachers, some are pujaris, and all different. It's very complex, but it all works very well because everyone knows what they have to do. Just like a computer is very complex, but it all works very well if everything's in the right place and all the proper conditions are there. It's actually much more complex than I don't know how complex a computer is because I don't know how they work, but we can just, it's just like the human body, it's so complex, but it all works one way or the other, Krishna's design. It also works to give pain because that's also one of its functions. So it also malfunctions by design. Whereas the computers malfunction because of not being so well designed or not being looked after properly. So in Varnashram Dharma, everyone has to follow Swadharma, and Artha automatically follows. You don't have to wonder, how am I going to live in future? The Baba, it's all fixed in the village for generations. Twice a year there's a harvest, and he gets so many bags of rice, and then he goes to weddings, and it's automatically gifts are given to him, and it's just all looked after. And if there is any... if there is any poverty or any such thing, someone struggling for some reason or other, then it's the duty of the Vaishyas and the Kshatriyas to see that they're maintained. No one should starve. So it's all looked after, but one has to perform one's duty. If the Baba gets his, how much rice he's supposed to get, it's all fixed. In the Yajaman system, in each village it will be fixed, what he gets, this, that, and that. But he has to do his duty. He's not entitled to get his bags of rice unless he has to go to this house once a month and cut everyone's hair and trim their moustache and all this kind of thing. And a woman's hair isn't cut, by the way. And the nails are cut, and he trims the nails. And but he has a fixed thing which he has to do, and then his artha. So it all works. Everyone does what they have to do together in a village, and this way it all works. Everyone has their duty, and then their artha is supplied. Their material necessities are supplied. Building a house may happen after so many generations, the same house can go on for generations. Or if you're in Bengal where the floods and this and that often happen, house gets washed away and a mud house, and then everyone in the village helps each other build their new house. I've seen it. And when the flood is over, then they build a new house. And generally they raise it quite high, but sometimes the flood comes higher than usual, once every 25 years or so, when it's time to build a new house anyway. And they need daily maintenance. They need to keep putting on pieces of mud and cow dung, mix it all up like that. And life goes on generation after generation, pretty much the same. People perform their dharma, they get their artha, and the artha, what one gets, one is supposed to get by dharma. It's another reason why Shrayan Swadharma Viguna. One should perform one's own dharma because one is entitled to a particular amount of artha. And if you start to get more artha than is meant for you according to your psychophysical condition, then it becomes imbalanced. Dharma is supposed to maintain balance. And also it becomes unclear if the Shudra starts to do the Vaishya work, he starts to do the work and he may take the benefits, but he doesn't see that. Does he also become obliged to distribute wealth to others? It upsets the whole system. Just like in a computer, if you move one component to another place, or try to get one component to do the work of another. It just upsets the whole system. Every part has its particular purpose. So artha is to be gained, and also discharged, it's used. One gets rice, money, or various things which can be called artha, material gain. So it's to be gained by dharma, anything, money or whatever, which is obtained by adharma, or by vikarma, sinful activity, then a pious person should not accept charity from a person who has not earned money according to dharma. There may be some, even within the varnashram system, there may be some sin incurred by performing one's duty. This is discussed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was so afraid of performing sin. But Krishna told him that that in every endeavor there is some kind of fault. Sadosham api na tyajet. Sahajam karma kontaya sadosham api na tyajet. In every kind of work there's some kind of fault. But it shouldn't be given up because of that. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example. Brahmanas may perform sacrifices for killing animals. Kshatriyas have to inflict violence. Vaishyas maybe do some cheating in their business. And just in the course of activity while lighting the fire in the wood, there will be some little insects, minuscule insects which you don't see, they get burned to death. Just by walking on the street, you may step on some ants. There's always, in everything we do, there's always some kind of fault. That doesn't mean we should stop all kinds of activities, but we should also be aware of that, that we are committing sinful activities. And therefore one is supposed to give, the brahmanas are supposed to perform purificatory acts for themselves, such as chanting the Gayatri Mantra, along with the whole Sandhya Vandanam three times a day. That purifies themselves and purifies others, but they're also supposed to accept the sinful reactions of others and purify them by accepting charity from them. So when charity is given to a brahmana, it is for the benefit of the person giving it, not for the benefit of the brahmana. That should be understood. So artha should be gained by dharma, means of dharma, and discharged according to dharma also. And that includes karma. Karma is allowed. It's not that sense gratification is not allowed. Once one of my esteemed godbrothers said in a class many years ago, in varnashram dharma, sense gratification is not allowed. At the end of the class I asked him, you said varnashram dharma, and I said, I didn't mean it like that. But it is allowed, it's right there, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. But even kama, sense gratification, has to be indulged in according to shastra, according to the rules given. And it'll be different in different for different varnas and in different situations. We have in Bhagavad Gita, dharmaviruddho bhuteshu, kamosmi bharatarshaba. I am that karma, Krishna says, which is enacted according to dharma. And this is glossed by the commentators to particularly mean sexual activity. It's not forbidden in Vedic society. If it was forbidden, there wouldn't be any more Vedic society or any kind of society, because karma, which means desire, also means the connotation is there of sexual union, which is required. But it has to be done according to shastra, with one's duly wedded wife at a certain time of the month, and there's so many rules to be followed. So Krishna says that karma, which is not contrary to dharma, is a representation of Krishna. So all kinds of karma. Eating, that's also required to maintain the body. But that should be done according to dharma. We take Krishna prasad. There's also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, yagya shishta. And there's so many rules for taking food. A sannyasi has rules for taking food. He can only beg so many houses. After the cooking has been over, after the food has been distributed, he can go to a limited number of houses in Madhukari. For the grihastha, that will especially be the higher caste grihasthas. They have to feed guests. They have to call out on the road before eating themselves. Is anyone, any hungry person here? And generally it's all the same people in the village, so there won't be, but there may be. They have to see that even the dogs and cats in their household are fed. There are so many rules for eating. It's enjoyable. It's karma, in fulfillment of karma, but there are so many rules to follow. So dharma, artha, karma, they're all supposed to be... artha and karma are supposed to be gaining artha and having karma, fulfilling desire, all according to dharma. Now here in this verse, artha should not be used for karma. Nartasya dharmaikantasya karma labhaya hi smritaha. That karma, one's desire, should be directed toward the ultimate goal of life, which is here is given as apavarga, moksha, given toward the ultimate goal of life, and in accordance with dharma. So karma is the artha is used for karma, but that karma has to be directed toward the higher goal of life. If you think, okay, I earn money religiously and now I'll enjoy religiously, but even that spirit is to be transcended. It's allowed within Varnashram culture. You get your livelihood by following your swadharma, and then you can fill desires such as eating, having a nice house, nice clothes, or some clothes at least. You can fulfill all those things according to dharma, but here the Bhagavatam points us that, all right, that's according to dharma, that's allowed in Varnashram, but you have to go higher and think, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sums it up, manasa deho geho jo kichumo apiluntua pode nanda kisho, that all this, or everything I've got, I consider mine, everything is directed toward Krishna, and this is the point being made. Another way artha can be used is as an investment. Business people know that you don't just take all your money and spend it. You have to use some as an investment. You have to invest back in the business. But there's also investment in dharma. You give money or grains or ghee or whatever, or your service for helping in yajnas, or you give to brahmanas. So that's an investment for one's future punya. So either you can whatever you gain, you have to put some into investment in dharma, and you may have some savings for the family also, and then some is used for necessities of life, which coincides with material desire. So those whose aim of life is karma only, those who dharma, artha, karma, they remain in this cycle. They remain in this cycle. That's trivarga. That can be called trivarga. Dharma, artha, karma. We perform dharma, we get some gain, and we fulfill our desire. And they may also make an investment for future karma, that they may go to the heavenly planets. But they're within the trivarga. They're just dharma, artha, karma. But those whose aim of life is ultimately sense gratification, they may be very dharmic, very good brahmanas, following all the rules, but they cannot get moksha. They don't even think of it. They don't even want it. On the other hand, those who desire moksha, they must completely give up desire for sense gratification, as is stated here, for personal sense gratification. That doesn't mean the activities of the senses are to be stopped, which is not possible anyway, but that kamo labhaya hismritaha nartasya dharma ikandasya kam. One should not engage in dharma and artha simply for the sake of sense gratification. Kamasya nindriya priti. It's iterated in the next verse to make the point. Those who want karma cannot get moksha. Those who want moksha have to stop indulging in sense gratification, anything more than what is required. Here we have, Srila Prabhupada puts it in his translation here of the next verse. Life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's works. The goal of one's works here means artha, that what one gains from one's work, from one's following one's dharma. What do you get? You get artha. And then what? Then you just to maintain the body for the sake of apavarga. Apavarga, or here in the form of the word is apavargyasya. So apavarga. Apavarga, not pavarga. And not pa, but pa, or ma. None of those. No parishram, no foaming at the mouth, no betata, Srila Prabhupada explains that, which is useless activity. No fear, no defending, and no mrityu, no death. So apavarga, karma and moksha, these two don't go together. So generally people perform dharma for the sake of artha and karma, but here in these verses it's said one should aim for moksha without, and still one has to perform dharma, and still there'll be some kind of artha and some kind of karma, but the aim, in other words, one has to get some food and eat it. But the aim, as long as the body is there, but one should aim ultimately at apavarga or moksha. And of course, we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam, especially Bhagavatam understood through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, premapumarto mahan, that even beyond moksha, there's another artha. The greatest artha, or the greatest goal, or end of life, or meaning of life, is to attain prema. And what is that prema? That, again, prema is understood and defined in terms of karma. Because we have atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam, krishnendriya priti icha dhare prema nam. The desire to satisfy our own senses, material senses, is called karma, material desire. The desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses is called prem. And therefore, Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu summarized this, tadarte kila cheshta. Tad arte in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, for that purpose, all our endeavors should be aimed at that purpose. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what is that tad? What is that tat? That is Krishna. Krishnarte akila cheshta. All endeavors should be performed simply for the reason of pleasing Krishna. That is the perfection of Varnashram. If one does that, there's no need for Varnashram. But still, those who are pleasing Krishna in a superlative manner, they generally act within Varnashram to teach others how to follow that. Or they may, either they act within Varnashram to teach others, as we find in Bhagavad Gita, how to perform Varnashram, one's duties for the pleasure of Krishna, or they may completely abandon it to show that this is all ultimately extraneous. But there's no in-between. You can't be half Gorky Shaw Das Babaji and half Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. It's not that, well, I'm a Brahmin. You say, oh, I'm a big Brahmin thread, but I don't follow all the rules because I'm transcendental. That's called cheating. You want to have this, the Babaji's, if someone from a caste family takes to the Babaji life, then the thread goes. The light goes. Some of the light went. This is on a different phase, is it? Or what is that? UPS, okay. The sound must also be in the UPS. How much time are we likely to have? Anyway, I'll go on speaking. So, it's good that after suffering for so many decades of allergy, our movement has suffered an allergy toward Varnashram for several decades. Some of the leaders, particularly in India, are taking an interest in promoting Varnashram. And the main incentive of that seems to have been the results of the pandemic and the lockdowns and the ISKCON temples. They run on money. And when the temples are closed down, when the lockdown is there, people don't come and it's more difficult to get money in most cases. So they're becoming interested in Varnashram. Great for whatever, but it's mostly not Krishnarte akila cheshta, but because we need some artha. We need to run on somehow or other. We're not going to get fed. Oh, Krishna's not going to get fed. So, all right, it's a beginning. Even in Mayapur, they're saying, now we have to do Varnashram, the tourism model, we can't rely on that. The real reason is because from the very beginning, Srila Prabhupada wanted Varnashram city. But anyway, one way or the other, an interest in Varnashram is there. But if the interest in Varnashram is driven by artha, then we're not going to get it. We're not going to get Daiva Varnashram, which is centered on pleasing Krishna. All these years we've been preaching chant Hare Krishna and have a good life, have a good job. Your career is your devotional service. And just suddenly to turn people around and say simple living and high thinking, it's not going to be very easy. But cultivating Krishna consciousness and cultivating material desires at the same time doesn't work very well, because there's a difference between prema and karma. And prema means without any material desire. And cultivating material desire, we can say having a good job is your devotional service, but that having a good job, that and that competitive spirit by which one struggles to get ahead in the corporate world or whatever it may be, that's not the spirit of Varnashram, which is a spirit of cooperation and being satisfied with whatever one. The spirit of Varnashram is to be satisfied with what, with what. What is that? Labha Santushto. What is that verse? Labha Santushto. How does that verse begin? Yeah, everyone's saying at once, I can't hear. Yadricha Labha Santushtaha. What comes by its own accord, one should be satisfied with that. Now that's particularly for the brahmanas and the shudras. The shudras are never fully satisfied, but they're trained to be satisfied with what they've got. The kshatriya may have a more ambitious outlook, and the vaishya also. But the brahmanas are supposed to be the paragons, the exemplars for society. And even the kshatriyas and the vaishyas, they may want more and more. But they're supposed to, that's supposed to be kept in check. By the kshatriyas keep the vaishyas in check, and the brahmanas keep the kshatriyas in check, so that they can increase their income. They may not also, they may be satisfied. The vaishya, he gets so much, he has so many fields, and he works the fields, and he gets so much grains, and he distributes it, and he's satisfied with that. But if someone's more ambitious, then the brahmanas also have to keep them in check, that they don't unnecessarily, they make a policy of attacking other kingdoms for no particular reason except to increase their kingdom. A kshatriya king is enjoined to attack a neighboring kingdom if he sees the neighboring kingdom, the management is not going on properly, or the king is not acting according to dharma, or if he's attacked himself. But otherwise, this unnecessary belligerent spirit for the sake of gain, that's supposed to be kept in check, because there's no end to it. You may be stronger now, and you may be able to conquer the neighboring kingdom and keep up some enmity, but it may be after some time, or in the next generation, your son will have to, when, because things always change, and then your son, who's the next king, will have to take the wrath of that other king who fled away to another kingdom, and enmity breeds enmity. So it's all to be kept in check. But the basic point should be said. All right, it can be that Krishna consciousness, your career is your devotional service, if one understands that human life is meant for God realization, not for getting a good job. And a good job is not, what's called a good job is not necessarily favorable for cultivating Krishna consciousness. In most cases, it isn't, because a good job means you have to put so much time and energy and associate with materialistic people. So this basic point should be understood. It's a very simple, straightforward, basic principle of Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, the science of devotional service, that cultivating pure devotional service and cultivating material desires at the same time doesn't work. Basic, basic principle. Our Varnashram communities have to be clearly Daiva Varnashram communities. It's not just a matter of saying, okay, you're a Vaishya, you're a Shudra, you make pots, or you're a computer programmer. Where does that fit? No electricity. Okay. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Okay, you can be a Brahmana. Or everyone's a Brahmana, because in Krishna consciousness we're all Brahmanas, right? Everyone gets a thread on their shoulder and we call them all Brahmanas. Even though, I wouldn't be surprised, to tell you the truth, if a large percentage of the devotees initiated in ISKCON as Brahmanas don't know how many chapters there are in Bhagavad Gita. And probably most of them don't know what the subject is of each chapter. Most of them, I would think, quite likely. And this is ABC stuff. So Daiva Varnashram should be set up, centered on Krishna, with Anyabhilashita Shunya Bhakti as the aim of the community. Anyabhilashita Shunya Bhakti means it's not an abhilash, very synonymous with karma, desire. So it doesn't mean without any desire, but distinct desire to satisfy Krishna. That should be the aim of our Varnashram, of this, the Varnashram society that Srila Prabhupada envisaged his followers setting it up. But also giving room to devotees at different levels. It's understood that not everyone's going to be extremely renounced, giving everything to Krishna, every thought, word, and deed to Krishna. Specifically, a large percentage of the population, most of the population, are going to be grihasthas who have material needs more than renunciants. And they also, apart from their material, their physical material needs, they have a need for social life, social functions that can all be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. We have festivals, and then there are various sanskars for the children, which are religious come social events. So that should be understood. And then they also, they have needs, just like you're thinking, in future I have to get my daughter married, so I'll need so much gold and silver and this and that. Should be understood that different people have different needs, but those who are leading the society, the brahmanas, they should personally set an example of being renounced from material desire and fully focused on Krishna in their own lives, and expert in engaging others within the Varnashram society so that their material or their worldly activities can be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness, just like this, having festivals, and then just like artistic tendencies, making garlands, making outfits for the deities, for instance. So everything, those who have the vision of bringing others to Krishna consciousness, they should see everyone's at a different level, and that's why there's Varnashram. There are different varnas and different ashrams for people who are based broadly in a certain category, and then within each category there are individuals. Also, not everyone's going to be a fully renounced, fully surrendered devotee, although actually in the beginning we need the core of our communities like that. If we start off with trying to accommodate people's material desires, then we're going to have a mess. At least the core devotees should be very strongly fixed in that understanding. And that's also in the temple communities. Srila Prabhupada said our Krishna consciousness movement is a society of brahmanas. And he also said he wanted Varnashram. So what does that mean? Varnashram doesn't mean everyone's a brahmana, but at least those who are the core of the temple community, they have to be fully dedicated to Krishna, fully surrendered to Krishna. Otherwise, why should the grihasthas support those who are living in the temple if those who are living in the temple are also engaging in sense gratification? They won't be inspired to do so. Then you have to send people out to wring the money out of others. So that we, and again, it becomes money oriented. So it's a question of, I just heard this line a few days ago. It's a good line. Bhakti bi or bhakti hi? Do we want in our life bhakti along with our life? Or is it my life is meant for bhakti? In Hindi it goes very well. Bhakti also or bhakti one and only? And there are different devotees at different levels, and we should understand that also. We young, idealistic men may want to be brahmacharis and be like that for some years, and they may see after some time, well, there are material desires in my heart, and better deal with them. I want to be a pure devotee of Krishna, but there are certain desires, and You should deal with them by entering the Grihastha ashram. Which means in the Grihastha ashram there is more consideration of artha and kama, whereas in the renounced orders, the three renounced orders, there's the focus is on dharma and moksha. And in the Grihastha life, for those who are devotees of Krishna, moksha, or in, as we understand it, Krishna consciousness, that should be the goal. But there's increased consideration of artha and kama, and that's required in Grihastha life also. But if we overemphasize the need for artha, then our varnashram becomes not daiva varnashram. We have to emphasize the need for Krishna. If it's we're setting up this society and we're just interested in how we can live in this world, then it comes down to the same thing. It becomes ahara nidra bhai maitun. And where's Krishna? So we have to make it very clear. And even we've been preaching for years that your devotional service, your studies and your career is your devotional service. And if you have a good job, that means you're doing better than others who don't have a good job. And it's not very clear that we're meant to fully surrender to Krishna. And ultimately, it doesn't matter whether you have a good job or not. They say, well, varnashram is external to bhakti, but working in a big company, that's not external to bhakti. That's your devotional service, right? It's going to be difficult to turn people and say, well, why don't we make varnashram now? So, all right, we want to have varnashram. And what about all that stuff? My career is my devotional service. Then the simple living and height, the idea of simple living, which is conducive for high thinking, whereas complex living takes all your energy and all your mindset to build it up and to maintain it, and it's just a headache. It's much more, at least from my perspective, it's much more desirable to have a small place to live in than a big place to live in, because a big place is more headache. Having less money is more desirable than having lots of money, because when you have lots of money, it's just a headache. You just have what you need, and then it is, okay, fine. If you have more than you need, then immediately anxiety, if you want to keep it, then there's anxiety, someone may steal it, and what will happen to it, and what will I do with it? And the best thing is just don't keep more than you need, and finished. Give it to some good cause. Jodi take bahudan tabe hao akin chan boishnave koro upaka. If you have lots of money, don't be attached. Give it to the Vaishnavas. do benefit for them. But if we make... So this is the attitude of the brahmanas in particular. We can't expect everyone to be so renounced. But at least the core of our Krishna conscious movement and the core of our ashram communities, they have to be people who are doing it wholly and solely for Krishna's pleasure. And they know that. Otherwise, if they themselves are thinking, so much for Krishna, so much for me. I collected 1,000 rupees, okay. 500 for Krishna, 500 for me. We used to hear this, the collecting teams. They like to get cash donations. No need of receipt. No need of receipt means, well, you can work it out yourself. So at least those who are leading the Krishna conscious movement, they have to be selfless, nirapeksha, as compared to sapeksha. They have nothing in life but to serve Krishna. If we emphasize that, or if we try to say that cultivating one's material desires and engaging the fruit in Krishna's service is the same as not cultivating material desires and cultivating desires only to serve Krishna, only for his pleasure, if we conflate the two things, this is my objection to saying that your career is your devotional service. It can be, but it should be made clear that devotional service is the goal of life, and you can do a career or whatever as a subsidiary to that or in tandem with that. But it's not that getting a promotion is intrinsically pleasing to Krishna. Just like, okay, brushing your teeth is your devotional service. What does that mean? You go on brushing your teeth all day? You do it as much as required to facilitate hearing and chanting about Krishna. It is devotional service if it's done for the sake of maintaining the body, which is maintained for the sake of serving Krishna. So similarly, in one's work, as is stated in this verse, one should work simply enough to maintain the body for serving Krishna. That's all. And if you do more than that, then comes the question of personal desire. Why are you working more than you need to, if it's not for the sake of Krishna? So it's a completely different mentality that I want to get ahead in society and be a devotee of Krishna, or we want to serve Krishna as the central goal of our life. If we think that I want to enjoy this world and serve Krishna, then automatically material considerations enter by its ipso facto. It's like saying if you pour water on yourself, you get wet. You don't have to say it. It's just, if you cultivate material desires, then all kinds of materialistic considerations will enter, even if you try to pretend that that you're doing it for Krishna. But if we're doing more than is required for our maintenance or whatever, then it's not all for Krishna. And that can be accommodated within Varnashram society, but again, there has to be kept a check on it. Otherwise, the vaishyas go crazy and the exploitive mentality comes in. And that we see in the world today, that the big corporations and the exploitive mentality, there's no check on it. And they're ruining the world by their policies. And they don't care about human lives, or they're demoniac, actually, their policies. They're destroying the environment and they're destroying society, and they don't care, because profit is only their motive. So again, those who are leading Vaishnav society, they have to have a very clear understanding that human life is meant for God realization. And if we encourage others to indulge in their material desires, that has to be done in very carefully, and so it doesn't get out of hand, and directing that toward Krishna. Otherwise, unbridled material desires will arise, which are very dangerous. They take us to hell. And then we get materialistic considerations. Why did Srila Prabhupada talk about Daiva Varnashram Dharma? Because there's already we see at the time of Lord Chaitanya, although it was much compromised by the Muslim rule, Varnashram Dharma was going on to a large extent. Even at the time of Krishna, when he came, Varnashram Dharma was going on. But Krishna felt the need to instruct Arjuna because there was a misunderstanding of what it's all about. Arjuna was, at least from the external point of view, he was in the bodily concept of life. So Krishna instructed Arjuna that you do your work and think of me. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. But the mam anusmara comes first. You think of me and fight. It's not that the fighting is the important thing and you tag on thinking of Krishna to that. We should understand what the priority is. So unless it's kept very clear, then Krishna is the center, then Krishna won't be in the center, because this is the world of Maya. Materialistic considerations will enter. And then exploitive mentality will enter, which is the which was the undoing of the Varnashram system, became Asura Varnashram, when they said on the basis of birth only, and those who are in a higher position, they, instead of wanting to benefit those who are subordinate to them, they want to exploit them. The exploitive mentality enters. So if we try to, within our ISKCON, if we try to establish Varnashram without a very clear understanding that everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure, there is a hierarchy that is there. People are very afraid of hierarchies. In the West especially, women are very afraid when they're told you have to take a subordinate position. They become very afraid because they say, oh, we've been exploited so much. It's another excuse for exploitation. But it doesn't have to be like that. And we're supposed to show that taking a subordinate position means to take shelter. And then again, the men have to be trained as brahmacharis, and then they can be good grihasthas. Otherwise, once the spirit of exploitation enters, then everything is spoiled, even if it's going on in the name of Krishna consciousness. So even though there is a hierarchy within human society, it must be there. There's no question. The other day, the Sindhi family came, and this woman said, well, I'm a feminist, and see, even in Sweden, there's a disparity between men and women. I said to her, that there'll never be complete parity in society. It's not possible. And she agreed. And I gave the example that men and women are never going to be equal because women give birth to children. And men, well, they become the, I guess you could say, the nimittakaran, but they're also involved, but the actual carrying of the child is, and the delivery of the child from the body, is done by the woman. So there are very different functions ordained by material nature, ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's never going to be the same. It's not possible. Even in communism, sounds very good, everyone's the same, but it didn't work out like that because some people are more intelligent than others. And in communism, there was decidedly no spirit of service to God, and therefore those who get a higher position exploit those who are lower. You can't avoid it unless there is a clear sense of we're all here to serve Krishna together. There is a hierarchy, but the spirit is one of cooperation and mutual appreciation, not exploitation. But unless we have Krishna clearly in the center and the society is, unless it's run by real or directed. Actually, the brahmanas don't run the society. That's the kshatriya's duty, but the brahmanas direct. They have to be selfless. And it should be yavat artha prayojanam. Srila Prabhupada would quote this. Only as much as we need. Only much as much artha. We should only have as much artha or income as we need to help us fulfill our paramartha, our highest need, which is to be Krishna conscious. Simple doesn't mean we have to live super austerely. We can live very opulently. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the Vrajavasis at the time of Nanda Maharaj. They were so opulent, they'd throw ghee on each other. Who can do that nowadays? Most people can't even afford ghee. Probably most children growing up in India, did they ever eat ghee? I don't know if they ever even ate ghee, because they never don't get it home. They get this, what is it, hydrogenated sunflower oil, which messes up your system from the beginning of life. So people can live simple. It's both simple and opulent. If we see the description of Vrindavan at the time of Nanda Maharaj, it's simple, inasmuch there's the land and the cows and there's Krishna, but that in itself is opulence, because they have so many cows and they have, there's enough food and clothing and everything by the grace of God. Gems, you may think, gems, well, what happened? They have to have mines, right? But Srila Prabhupada said, when society is dharmic, then Krishna is so pleased, then the earth gives gems. You'll find in the rivers and everything. Although there is a description of mines also, and when Narad Muni as he's traveling through the world in his previous life. So there's some description of minds also. But Srila Prabhupada said, it's just like the cows give milk abundantly. And we see that sometimes, even without having a calf, the cows give milk. We've seen on our Krishna conscious farms. So the earth just gives gems of being pleased. So opulence is there, but no ugra karma. We think that we have to have ugra karma to make things that we can have. We have to have factories and exploit the earth so that we can get more and more gadgets and widgets and all kinds of things. But depend on the land, the cows and Krishna. This was what Srila Prabhupada recommended, as recommended by Krishna. That is the basis. The basis of every society is artha. It's, society is organized so that every society, godly or ungodly, it's organized for the sake of production of the necessities. It's a cooperative endeavor for the production of necessities. And then on top of that, you have to keep everyone from exploiting each other and at each other's throat. There are laws to stop people exploiting others. It's not just because one man is stronger than another, he can just kill him because he's stronger. There are laws to regulate, and even in business there are laws to regulate, and there are all kinds of, there's a philosophy of law, and to on what basis do you have your legal system, and then questions arise. Such as if there's a tree growing in someone's land, but it's adjacent to someone else's land, and there's a wall in between, but the branch of the tree grows over the wall and the mangoes fall on the other person's land, who does the mango belong to? So these are the kind of things that society is set up to deal with all such questions. Who looks after the weak sections of society, the old people? Actually, you don't need laws for that. Generally, the younger children do that. But you do need laws in a non-godly society in which, because the only aim of life is sense gratification, then the old people are rejected. They don't give sense gratification. So throw them out. But the basis of society is very complex. When it becomes more complex, they call it civilization. But the basis is a mutual endeavor for production of our needs. We have needs, food, clothing, and shelter. So it works more efficiently. You can live as a hermit and pick up some bugs and eat them. And you can pluck some fruit from a tree if you're living in a forest and no one's put their ownership on it. In Erkod, we were up there, there was one jackfruit tree just appeared to be growing here and there. Narayan, he was up there, he picked one jackfruit and took it down to Salem for the temple. And the next day we had a couple of men coming because their jackfruit tree was covered by a CCTV. It was their jackfruit tree and they wanted to know, who's that who stole our jackfruit? But it's easier to get food. Just like if you want to eat a pig, I'm not saying that you want to eat a pig, but I'm just giving the example, then it's easier if there's a group of people that go hunting the pig in a primitive society. Or if you want to catch fish. It's very difficult to catch fish. Have you ever tried to catch fish by your hand? I tried once when I was a kid because there was a river with a trout. You know what a trout is? They sit in the river in clear water. They may be going very fast, the water, but they'll just sit in the same spot with their body perpendicular to the current. I don't know how they do it. Krishna knows. So I thought, just for fun, I thought I'd put my hand in and go very slowly and try and come underneath and pull it out. Didn't do it. But if you have a net, it's easier to catch. But then someone else has to make the net, and someone has to grow the grass. And so society works by cooperation. And then you get fishing boats which go out with sophisticated technology, and still hunting, isn't it? Fishing, it's still hunting, but it goes on an industrial scale, so that they've overfished the fisheries. But anyway, I'm just making the point that it's an organized effort to produce your food. And then if you follow the anthropological mythology that previously everyone was a hunters and gatherers, and then they invented agriculture, or they discovered agriculture. You clear some land, plant some seeds, and then maybe you get, when you get more advanced, you get bulls to plow the land or horses to plow the land. And in this way, civilization began with organized agriculture, which is a means of producing food. And then again, building houses, it is helpful to have a teamwork, and especially when houses become a bit more sophisticated, then you have windows and bricks, and then you need masons, and now in the present day you need plumbers and electricians, and you need a surveyor, and you need permission, and so many things to build a house. And then you need a road to get to it, and then there are neighbors also. So this way society develops. It's an organized effort by the basis of which is how we can fulfill our needs, and then our basic needs, eating, ahara nidra bhaya maitun, for which house, you need a house also, and unless you're a rishi who can live in a cave, you need a house, and then there are rules for the houses, and so on and so on. But the basis is survival, human survival. But varnashram dharma means the higher purpose of life. Not with here, just not for the sake of survival, but for a higher purpose. And many people may see the higher purpose as karmatmana swagapara. Their desires are aimed to go into the heavenly planets. It's a higher purpose than simply eating, sleeping, mating, and defending in the here and now. It is a higher purpose, but it's not very high. And we're enjoined to go higher, 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 and all the way up to Krishna. So daivavanashram dharma means to perform all the functions that we need to do cooperatively for maintaining society, but understanding that ultimately life is meant not simply for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, but for going to Krishna. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada's plans for varnashram dharma, they come to more than just calling everyone a brahmana as they go on with their shudra work in the city. Srila Prabhupada called, the words he used, or the phrase he used, was there should be a thorough overhaul of society, and society should reverse to the system of four varnas and four ashrams. That's almost a verbatim quote. Thorough overhaul of society. At least our devotees should understand, as many non-devotees understand, maybe not in India so much, that the present civilization is on a seriously wrong course. There's something seriously, at the very root of it, there's something very seriously wrong with the whole society. The whole basis, the whole understanding is wrong. So by giving the knowledge in Srila Prabhupada's books of the goal of human life, Srila Prabhupada wanted to bring a revolution in human society. But the revolution is, it's one of consciousness, but when we understand the goal of life is Krishna, then what do we need these Ugra Karma factories and these polluted cities when we only need some land and some cows to produce our necessities? And what do we need all this stuff? And the whole society is running on the artha principle, the misconstrued or the misdirected understanding of the vaishya. So we have to get more and more money. We need more and more money. We have to sell more and more things. We have to make more and more things. And we have to increase desires in people's heart to buy these things which they don't need. Like that. Believe it or not, those of you who were born maybe just 20 years ago, there was a time in history when there was no internet and no cell phones, and people lived and they didn't suffer any symptoms of distress for not having them, because they didn't exist. If you don't have it, you don't want it. And that's how consumer society runs on, right? I'm making things, I want you to buy it, so you have to know about it. So I have to advertise it. And so the whole advertisement, they call it an advertisement industry. In my mind, industry should produce something. Industry means some work, but they say the advertising industry. What does it do? It produces desires, unnecessary desires in people's hearts. For them to, then they have to work more to earn money, to buy things that they don't need. Srila Prabhupada has discussed this in some detail in his first canto. So we can see the whole world is all confused with all wrong ideas, so many wrong ideas. One of the reasons is because there's no varnashram dharma. If there's no varnashram dharma, then which gives structures to society, then people are automatically confused about what they're doing in life, and they latch onto so many wrong ideas. And because there are so many wrong ideas, then people don't want varnashram dharma. It's just like as long as we're in material existence, the body and the soul, they work together. The soul is important, but we require the body as long as we're in material existence. So Krishna consciousness, well, theoretically you don't need a body, but theoretically we don't need varnashram. We can chant Hare Krishna without varnashram dharma, but then we have so many desires which we've picking up all the time from the society around us, which goes against the principle of devotional service. It's all asat sangha. We're forced to live in a society where people are working for the wrong goal of life, for various wrong goals of life, all under the one rubric of sense gratification, money for sense gratification. So there will be wrong ideas, there'll be a profusion of very wrong ideas, and people will become evil and do such bad things to each other and to the earth and to animals if there's not a goal of life, if it's not clear that Krishna consciousness is the goal of life. And that means society should be controlled. There should be a control on what people hear. It should not be allowed. Pornography should not be allowed in society. A profusion of advertisements increasing people's desires for things that they don't need should not be allowed. It's a kind of violence. And the society is so messed up that people think, I have to do the best thing for my children by sending them to a school in which they'll get a completely wrong idea of the goal of life and how to attain it. And they think, because they're so brainwashed by this propaganda, that you have to have a good job, you have to have a lot of money, and then you have to buy things that you don't need, and then you have to work more to get more money to buy more things that you don't need. And people think, This is what I have to give my children. I have to give them a better life. A better life, full of anxiety and going to hell. That's their life. And all the whole society cooperate. There's a kind of cooperation, but it's an abrasive cooperation. People don't like each other. They don't trust each other. There's a kind of cooperation in which the sense gratification goes on, and from time to time you find people, they just burst out of the norms, and they do something like going and killing someone. Or you told me yesterday something I hadn't heard about, some man was raping his own daughter for 20 years or so. Ugh. When you hear it, you think it's horrible, but in another sense you're not really surprised, because what do you expect from such a nasty society? Our devotees should understand this, that we're in a nasty world. The whole way the world is going is nasty, and we're supposed to show a better alternative with varnashram dharma. And it doesn't mean just sticking a thread on people and calling them a brahmana. we are enjoined by Srila Prabhupada to give an alternative, thorough overhaul of society. Without that, we need, even in our own ISKCON, we need that, because we see there's so much talk of how women are abused, and not just talk, it goes on. But then here in India also, we hear devotees are thinking, well, what will I do if I dedicate my life, and then when I'm older, I'm not able to produce anything, then no one will look after me. We hear devotees say that, although I don't see within it. I've seen quite a few brahmacharis in ISKCON who are, they're looked after in their old age, if they're served nicely. In the temples, for you, or you may think, well, I have to get a position, and then if I become a temple president, then I can look after myself, right? And I'll have others work for me and my family, and the temple becomes an extension of one individual's or several individuals at the top cooperating with each other to fulfill their family needs. That's not the way it's supposed to be. But the whole society is set up on the profit motive, individual profit. We need Varnashram, we need pious kings. We seem a long way from that. Who understand and householders who understand the culture of giving to genuine brahmanas. I was saying that ISKCON in India is waking up to the need for Varnashram, because they're thinking, well, if there's too much lockdowns, how are we all going to eat? How are we going to maintain? We're going to maintain our temples, and we need the temples to be maintained so that we can be maintained. But that's the mentality of the whole society, because our movement, by necessity, it's a money-collecting movement. We send people out to collect money so we can build temples, and then we live in the temples and we need to collect money. It's supposed to be for preaching Krishna consciousness, but it can devolve to the consciousness, instead of that we're collecting money to spend for preaching Krishna consciousness, we're making a show of preaching Krishna consciousness so we can collect money to maintain ourselves. And then we come to the dichotomy that, well, we're collecting money so that we can preach, but we can't preach what people really need to hear because they don't like to hear it, because then we won't get any money. So we're collecting so that we can preach, but we can't preach because we're collecting. And preaching becomes talking some nice things that people like to hear, and promising them that if you give us money, then your family problems will be solved, which is quite a hoax, because we can't bribe Krishna, and it becomes a money collecting movement, and the leaders are always in anxiety for money. Temple devotees are in anxiety, who will look after, what happens if I get sick, and what happens to me in old age. And therefore we tell, go out, get a good job, work hard, and give your money to Krishna. I suspect that this pushing, that you have a good job and earn plenty of money, it's not only motivated by thinking of that person's own spiritual advancement, but it's also, even subtly, we may not even recognize it ourselves. It's motivated by who's going to look after me. Give your money. We need your money. But we should be confident. The Yadricha Labha Santushtaha principle. Tell them that you're going to be a householder. Do some jobs so that you don't have to work so hard. You get enough money to live and utilize your life. You should have spare time for sadhana and engaging in the activities of Krishna consciousness. The good career means you have to work and work and work and work and work. You don't get ahead without working and working and working and working and working and working and working. You have to show your boss that you're enthusiastic about the job, and then you can get a promotion and this and that. But we can tell people, even in city life, if you are in the city life, try and find some occupation that doesn't occupy you all the time. We should We shouldn't preach bhakti B. You work and earn money and also chant Hare Krishna. We shouldn't preach that because the temples need money. But the tendency may be to be like that because we're always thinking we need money for the temple. Varnashram society, there shouldn't be any anxiety for maintenance for anyone. If everything, the land is there, the land can profusely produce food. There shouldn't be any need of anxiety if people are satisfied with what comes of its own accord. So in developing Varnashram, we should have these principles clearly in mind that our movement is meant for serving Krishna according to the system that he gave. Now we're operating in a demoniac society which is based on money, and we are as if obliged to be a money-orientated movement. But it's not supposed to be like that. Another reason we have to make Varnashram communities is to transcend this, or to come out of this whole consciousness that we need money. First you have to think of money, then you can think of devotional service. But it shouldn't be like that. We do our swakarma and automatically our maintenance is taken care of. We should be free from that anxiety for income. Otherwise, pure devotional service is something we read in the books, if we read the books, means Srila Prabhupada's books, and we talk about, and we maybe talk about, we teach in Bhakti Shastra classes, but it's in the books only, it's theoretical only. Or we tell stories of the previous acharyas, how great devotees they were, but there's no way that we ourselves can follow in their footsteps, because we're not living a way of life which is conducive for that. Or we may say that, well, bhakti is something you do in your old age. Right now you have to work like an ass, and later on, if you live long enough, if you don't get a heart attack or whatever, at the age of 30, then you can do bhakti in your old age. Now you work like an ass, and you're completely materialistic, and, well, not completely materialistic, but the purity, this focus on Krishna that has to come at the end of life. You be somewhat Krishna conscious now. And then at the end of life, you can be fully into Krishna consciousness. But we want to show that even if one has the tendency to be a Vaishya or a Shudra, which is a lower birth according to Christian Bhagavad Gita, one can be fully Krishna conscious. As he says in Bhagavad Gita, Mam hi partha vyaparshritya, yipi syuf papa yone hastriyo vaishastata shudras, Tipi Yanti Parangatim. Krishna began this chapter, the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, by talking about Raja Vidya. And in the fourth chapter, which Srila Prabhupada sometimes translates as knowledge for kings. And in the fourth canto, at the beginning of the fourth canto, he states how this knowledge was handed down through the Rajas for the Kshatriyas. It's practical spiritual knowledge for application in society. But then in the end of the ninth chapter, Krishna says that, well, it's not only for the kings and the brahmanas, it's for everyone. So this is the society that we want to show, how everyone can, whatever one's previous conditioning, one should act according to one's previous conditioning within the Varnashram system set up by Krishna, and everyone cooperates, and everyone can cultivate Krishna consciousness at whatever situation we are now. But it doesn't mean rejecting the situation we are now, thinking that Varnashram is external. We act within our situation and cultivate Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarupyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patita nam pavadebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya churnakang padaya nipatya kridva chaka kushatame tadaham bravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat. Goranga chandra charane kuruta nuraga ha. Paripada tu jano yata tata va nanoma corona vayang vicharayama. Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilotama natama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare.